You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
All right, let's get into the word this morning. We're going to start off in Luke 23. We're in the middle of a series called Do You See What I See? Let's read together. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" I want to read also from Colossians chapter 2, 13 to 15. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." That's good news right there, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As you lead and guide us today, would you speak to us? May our hearts be tender. May they be soft. May our ears and our hearts be ready to listen to what you would speak to us. We want to lean in today and hear your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many sports fans do we have in the place? How many people enjoy watching a bit of sport? I'm a sports fan, played football all of my life, love football. But, you know, in sport in recent times has found a new villain, a new person or thing for us to shake our fists at and realize that we are still sinners in need of a savior. I'm talking, of course, about VAR, TMO, or the video ref. Now, we are thankful at times when it works and it gives the right outcome, but now a try is scored, a goal is scored, and it's kind of like, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to celebrate yet because there's a good chance it'll be chalked off, right? And so we're kind of waiting for the outcome, for the result, and then all of a sudden the result comes soon. We're left kind of scratching our head and even shaking our fists at the screen saying, "How did you not see what I saw? How do you see that and make that decision based on that?" Anyone mildly passionate like me? Do you know when we look at the story of the cross, of the walk of Jesus, we can look at it and in the natural we can go, how is that even possible? What we would look as a horrible walk of suffering for our Lord and Savior Jesus, Paul describes it as something different. In Colossians 2, as I read, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This walk of suffering that we see is actually a way of victory for Jesus. Paul contrasts Jesus carrying the cross through the streets of Jerusalem up to the hill of Calvary with a Roman military victory procession. When Roman generals would win a military victory, they would be given what's called a triumph, which was a parade in honor of their victory. They would parade the trophies of war, the riches, the wealth, the fallen generals, those that they had won the victory over, would drag them along in chains, stripped bare, and would say, "We have won the victory over you." And Paul is describing the work of the cross as a triumphant victory for Jesus. And this is what Paul is seeing happening to the demonic, to the principalities of darkness, of the powers as Jesus is led through the streets and up the hill of Calvary to be crucified. Where in the natural we see Jesus being spat upon and mocked, Paul sees a triumphant victory, a procession of victory. Do you see what Paul sees? Do we see what he sees? How is it that we see one thing and Paul sees something different? How is it that we see Jesus on the way to suffering and Paul sees Jesus on the way to victory? How is it that we see Jesus paraded through the streets and Paul sees the hordes of hell being paraded instead? How is it that we see the suffering king in exactly the place that Paul sees the victorious, reigning, triumphant king? Here's our big idea today. Here's what I want us to grasp and understand. Where the people saw the way of suffering, God saw the way of victory. Today we're focused on a phrase called the Via Dolorosa. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? Sounds like a wonderful place to go and a wonderful journey to take until we realize that that actually means the way of suffering. Would we journey that? Would we be prepared to walk that as we approach Passion Week? As Passion Week begins today and as the Holy Week where we see Jesus leading towards the cross and then his ultimate resurrection. I believe if we could grasp this as followers of Jesus, that the suffering that we see and we experience, that we would not run from that, but we would embrace that. How would our perspective change? How would we be focused in a different way when we recognize that maybe, just maybe, God is using that suffering to bring about a greater victory than we could ever see? Not many amens or agreement this morning. And we don't really like to hear that so much, but that is the reality of what I have seen in my years of faith, that through the deepest, darkest trials and valleys, God builds character and strength and develops us like nothing else. When a trial or a suffering doesn't derail us, but it focuses us, there's not a single lie, deception, or demon in hell that will stop the purposes of God being fulfilled in your life and the life of those around you. You know, the idea of suffering being the way of victory is echoed in the layout of the Gospel of Mark. Mark is 16 chapters, and the first half speaks of the power of Jesus. Like, it's described as like the action gospel. If you read Mark, you read chapter 1, it's like there's no genealogies. He's straight into the wilderness, battling it out with the devil. Like, he's straight into it in chapter 1. Like, it's all on. And Mark describes this journey of Jesus choosing his disciples, the power, the miracles, the provision of God, those first 8 chapters. The second part, it deals with the suffering, but also an invitation of his disciples to embrace that suffering also. Following Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ on the road to Caesarea Philippi, in chapter 8, Jesus abruptly begins teaching about his coming suffering and the death that would follow. From there on, it moves every conversation as a movement towards the cross and of what would come. The split focus of power and then the suffering provides the background for what makes the Gospel of Mark very distinctive. And every chapter has a mention of the suffering of Christ or an invitation to those that would seek to follow him. That there would be suffering, that there would be giving up of things, it would be a taking up. The rich young ruler comes and says, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I'm a good person. I've followed the rules. I've ticked all the boxes when it comes to the law. And Jesus says, this one thing you lack, the thing you love the most. But before he says that, the Bible says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. What does love's look like? When Jesus looks at us and he says, this one thing you lack. Give up the thing that matters the most to you and then follow me. And you'll see the way to eternal life. Then the disciples say, Jesus, we want to sit next to you on the throne. Jesus says, there's a way, but it's not the way you think. It's a way of suffering. It's a way of walking through the trials. What Mark was trying to do is look at the success and the power of Jesus, but also in light of the suffering that Jesus went through. Mark is showing us that the way of victory can only ever be the way of the cross. Mark's emphasis on the suffering and the death of Jesus and the suffering leads to victory. This is not just to be an encouragement to understand how Jesus lived, but also an invitation that we would also follow that path. If Christ had to suffer on his way to victory, would we not choose that too? Would we not say, okay, God, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me? Romans 5, 3 to 5, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Can I invite you to say that with me? But we also glory in our sufferings. Now let's say it one more time as though we might even believe it. But we also glory in our sufferings. Why? Why do we glory in our sufferings? Paul, you better give me a good reason, because I don't like suffering. Anyone like suffering? Like you just line up for it and say, please, I love this so much. Not a single person. But Paul's saying, we also glory in our sufferings because we know. This is a man who knows. This is a man who gets it, who understands it, who's lived it, who's walked it. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. What does the world need more than anything else right now? Hope. You ask the average person, what do they need? They're like, I just want hope. I just want a reason to live. I want a purpose for living. And that hope is found only in Christ. And this is the promise. And hope does not put us to shame. Anyone feel shame, guilt, condemnation for the things that we've done, the lies we've told, the things we've stolen, the attitude of our heart, the anger, the lust? Anyone ever feel shame for that? Yeah, we do. Of course we do. That's exactly what the enemy would want us to do. To live in this continual state of shame and disappointment. But this hope that Jesus is speaking of does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Praise God. Your suffering has the potential to lead us to a place of victory, to a place of overcoming. But how do we actually walk that path? Today I've got two thoughts. First one, choose the invisible over the visible. Choose the invisible over the visible. Why don't we see what Paul sees? Well, the first and most obvious answer to this question is that Paul sees something ultimately invisible to the human eye. It's invisible to the five senses. We like to know the things we can see and taste and touch and feel, right? We're very tactile. We want to be able to see those things in front of us to give us validation for our feelings and our thoughts and our understandings, right? It's quite natural for us to look at the natural. Whereas Paul's saying, would you see beyond the natural and into the supernatural? Historically, this visible and invisible wrestle was with the Israelite people, right? They came out of Egypt through the miraculous hand of God. They crossed through the Red Sea through the miraculous hand of God, not the visible hand that they could see, but how could you not say that was a miracle as you're walking through with water banked up on both sides? How does that happen except by God? And then at the right time, God closes it over the army that was going to chase them and destroy them. And then they need water, and so water flows out of a rock, and there's enough for every single person to drink. Then they say, well, we're going to die. What are we going to eat? And God says, well, I'll give you manna and I'll give you quail. I will take care of you. I will be your provision. And yet when Moses climbs up onto Mount Sinai to meet with God, the people go, where's our God? Where's God gone? Give us a God. Give us a God like the gods in Egypt. Give us something that we can touch and feel and get our hands upon. And God said, I'm not that God. I'm not a God that's confined to a statue. I'm a God that is omnipresent. I'm a God that is everywhere. I'm an omnipotent God. I'm a powerful God that is in every place and every situation. Do not confine me to this place. That wrestle is our wrestle too. We see what's in front of us and we make decisions on the goodness or the faithfulness of God based on whether that looks good enough or not. And we make our decisions and to our own peril based on what we see rather than by what we see in faith. What is it that God wants you to see today? Maybe even through a trial. Maybe even through suffering. Would you take even 30 seconds right now? Just in this moment, just say, God, What are you asking? What do you want me to see that I haven't seen? What is it? What is it that my focus needs to be upon? I'm focused on something in the natural, but God, you're wanting to show me something in the supernatural. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us that thing. God wants us to focus on the invisible, the things in faith, more than just what we see in the natural. And as the team come this morning, the second area is we need to choose the way of surrender. Would we choose the way of surrender? You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, in a moment of passion, deep anguish, I was just reading that this morning, cries out. The Bible says that he sweated blood. It was like tears, but it was just like the pressure, the anxiety that he was going through, everything, the tension that he was feeling came out. It was a physical manifestation, his blood coming out of his head. Wrestling with the humanity while remaining completely divine. Never at a moment did he ever lose his divinity. God was there, present in the garden, crying out to his Father, who he loved, was deeply in relationship with. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Is that our cry? Is that our cry in the middle of our suffering? I think it's okay. In fact, I read through the Bible and I read the Psalms and I think there's permission given to humanity to say, God, I'm struggling right now. My life is a mess. My enemies are against me. I don't know what to do. I am at a loss. And yet, not my will, but yours be done. I think we need to pray a few more of those prayers. I think we can get verbal. We can get vocal with God and say, God, I'm really annoyed and frustrated. I think we need to say those prayers sometimes. I think it's okay to have a yell and a scream if that's what it takes. And say, God, this is the reality of what I'm facing, and yet not my will, but yours be done. In the depth of my pain, in the depth of my suffering, I'm hurting right now, God, and it hurts so much, and yet I want to see what you see. I want to see that this way of suffering might be leading towards victory in my life or in the life of others. I love that we're in a season in church where the full gospel is being preached. I grew up in an era where if you pray the right prayer, the genie in a bottle, God will give you what you want. I hate to say it. And if you didn't have enough faith, it's on you. I talked with somebody recently, an event that was going on, and they said, you know, somebody said, should I bring an umbrella to this event? It's outdoors. Well, if you don't have any faith, sure. Don't bring an umbrella. Bring an umbrella. I brought an umbrella. It rained. The reality of the Christian walk is yes, there's blessing. Yes, there's provision. Yes, there's protection. Yes, there's covering. And yes, there is suffering. And yes, there is grief. And yes, there is turmoil. All of that is the gospel that Jesus walked, taught, lived, and we can also experience for the glory of God. Here's why choosing suffering and accepting it as a part of the Christian life matters. When things are going great, the money's pouring in, relationships are great, kids are behaving, everyone's at school where they should be, you got a good car and a good house, when all of that's happening, we can attribute that to the blessing of God, right? God is good and we're blessed and that's fantastic, amazing. And yes, he does provide. But we can flip that the other way and say when things are going badly, when, you know, like me and maybe some of you, when it's not all going perfect, when you don't have enough money for the mortgage or rent or to fill the car if you can even afford a car. and the kids aren't well, and relationships aren't as good as we would hope they would be, we can then think that we're cursed. No, we're human. We're walking through trials and challenges, and God says, I will be with you. But so often we find ourselves in those moments and we say, well, I'm going to leave God because he's left me. He's never left me. He says, I'm here with you right now. Would you embrace the suffering with me? And when you look through the Bible, there are plenty of writers that say, come on, count it pure joy, says James, when you face trials of many kinds. Because it's going to produce something in you. It's going to build something within you. Even to the point of death, to live as Christ, to die is gain. Friends, when the road is hard, the challenges are seemingly insurmountable. Which type of Lord and Savior do you need? One of wealth and prosperity? Or do you need a suffering servant who walked the way of the cross, who walked the way of suffering, who could identify with us in the pain that we feel and experience? That's the Savior that I follow and I serve, and I will gladly give my life to follow. I love Philippians 2, 6 to 8, one of my favorite passages. We got to look to Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on the cross. Jesus chose surrender, and so must we. Would you ask God for the ability to see beyond the visible, to see the invisible? Would you ask God by the power of his Holy Spirit to be able to see the victory even though it feels like our heart and our feet and our hands are shackled? That we would see that place of victory and walk through suffering to that place of victory. Do you know the testimonies that have had the greatest impact on my life? Where people have said, I was broken. I was hurt, I was lost, I was in the miry clay, and I had no hope, and yet Jesus got down with me. God alongside me, didn't abandon me, didn't turn me away, but says, I love you, and I am with you, and I will pull you up out of that miry clay, and I will put your feet on a rock. Those are the testimonies that move my heart. Have you got a testimony of suffering? A testimony of trial, of challenge? Maybe it's time to start sharing that a little more. Can I tell you my story? Can I tell you my testimony of a God who never left me when I was in the muck? A God that pulled me up out of that dark place and put my feet on a rock. Friends, this Passion Week, would you share your story with someone? Would you get a bit of courage and ask God for courage to say, can I tell you my story? Can I tell you what Jesus has done in my life? I think they need it. I know my friends do, maybe yours do as well. And when we praise, there's something that gets declared in the heavenly. Paul and Silas, locked up in a prison cell. They've got every reason to complain and be upset, wouldn't you? Follow Jesus, found myself in prison. Yeah, that worked. And yet when all the other prisoners in the darkest moment of their lives, when they're probably just feeling sorry for themselves, Paul and Silas begin singing psalms of praise. They see beyond the physical chains and they see a freedom that can be found only in praise and declaration. Maybe they saw it, maybe they didn't, but when they start praising, their chains come off and the prison doors come open and every other prisoner gets set free at the same time. Friends, when we praise through our suffering and we tell our story, people go, what is it about you? It's like, it's not me, it's Christ who lives in me that's made the difference. People want to know. They want to know why you would follow him. Why? What's your answer? Because he gave it all for me and he gave it all for you. We're going to take a moment and we're going to praise God. We're going to lift up a shout of praise. We're going to sing hallelujah. You have won the victory through the way of suffering. And if you've got suffering that you're walking through right now, if there is pain and challenge that you're walking through, would you lift up a shout of praise anyway? Would you say, I might feel shackled, but I will give God my praise and my celebration. Before we do that, I want to give an opportunity to anybody here who has never surrendered their life to Christ. Said, I want to give God my all. I need to be forgiven for the sin that's kept me apart from God. I want to pray with you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to give God some praise for a breakthrough in your life where you give yourself fully to Him. The Bible says we've all sinned. Every single person in this place has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God made a way through His Son Jesus that we would not perish, but we would experience full and eternal life with Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never received His forgiveness, today, would you pray a prayer with me? It's a simple prayer. The words in the prayer is not as important as the decision in our heart saying, God, I give myself fully to you. I'm going to follow you with all of my life, all of my heart. And we are here to help you on that journey. You don't get to do it alone. You've got friends and family around you that will stand with you and walk with you and cry with you and get in the muck with you. But we can't save you. Only Jesus can. And He will today if you would cry out to Him. So come on, let's pray this prayer. If that's you today, you pray it. Come on, church, why don't we pray this out loud? Dear Jesus, thank you that you chose the way of suffering.
Thank you that you chose this way of suffering.
So that there would be victory for me.
Jesus,
I turn from my old way of living. I repent of my sin. I turn from that old way. And I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me brand new, a new creation. I thank you for your gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or maybe you're recommitting your life to God, I want you to raise your hand up nice and high, and we will celebrate with you right now. Come on, if that's you, right across this place. Anyone here? Yes, at the back, amazing. Anyone else this morning saying yes to Jesus? You prayed that prayer, committed yourself to Him. Praise God. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to praise God. We're going to lift up a shout of praise. And if you need a victory or you're walking through suffering, you may want to get out of your seat, come and stand or kneel or lay before the King. But let's lift up a shout of hallelujah. He has won the victory. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.